Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live recording on how to stay positive in a negative world was recorded at our 2010 Phoenix Gospel Truth Seminar. And now, here's Andrew.
You know, a scripture that I use often is Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, where it says, "Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think." And people will just shout, "Amen, I believe it." And I say, that's wrong. It says in Ephesians 3:20, "Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." That means, the word "according to" means in proportion of or to the degree of the power that is working in us. If you become discouraged, you stop the flow of God. God flows through people. God flows through us. And if we are discouraged, we stop the flow of God's power. Not everything that is happening is God's power, God's will. For instance, it makes it very clear in 2 Peter chapter 3, I believe it's verse 9, it says, "God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." You can't make it any clearer than that. It is not God's will for a single person to perish, and yet Jesus said that the majority would perish. "There are more that go by the broad gate unto destruction than there are by the narrow gate unto everlasting life." God's will does not automatically come to pass. It's because he has to flow through people, and there are so few people that are letting God flow through them. And one of the things that is stopping God from flowing and releasing his power and causing more of the goodness of God in this world is because Christians are discouraged, either personally because of things in their life or because of just the things that they see in this world. And if you get discouraged, you stop the flow of God. So this is why the Lord was telling Joshua, he says, "Be strong and of a good courage." He told him he had to be strong and of a good courage or it would stop the will of God that he wanted to accomplish through Joshua's life from coming to pass. "Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto your fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then," when you've meditated in it day and night, "then you will make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Man, these are strong scriptures, but again, I'm just trying to emphasize how the Lord is telling Joshua, you've got to be strong and of a good courage. And notice, he told him to do two things. He says, "Be strong and of a good courage," and he told him not to do two things. He says, "Don't be afraid, neither be dismayed." These are opposing forces. If you are afraid and dismayed, then you are not strong and of a good courage. They counteract each other. So you've got to do two things and resist two things. And the word "dismayed," you know, if you were to look this up in the NIV, it's talking about being discouraged. The word "discouraged" is just a compound word that means the loss of courage. If you aren't confident in the Lord, if you aren't excited about the things of God, then you're dismayed or discouraged. And you have to keep yourself encouraged. You know, I'm going to go into these things in more detail as we go through this whole series, but let me just mention quickly that David faced a terrible, terrible situation in 1 Samuel chapter 30. His own men spoke of killing him and stoning him to death. He had had his wives and children taken, and all of the men had had their wives and children taken. Their homes were burnt, and it was a terrible situation. And after about 13 years of David being anointed to be king, and he never saw it come to pass. Instead, his father-in-law had taken his wife from him and given her to another man. His father-in-law, Saul, was trying to kill him, and he had run for his life, and he had been persecuted every day, and this was like the last straw. They came back and everything had been burnt. All of their wives and children were taken. It was a terrible situation, and these men were so discouraged that they were going to stone him to death. And yet it says in 1 Samuel chapter 30, I believe it's around verse 6, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And did you know it was only a matter of hours until what God had promised him came to pass and he became king. He was right on the verge of victory, and yet it looked terrible. It looked like the bleakest time of his entire life. And if David hadn't have encouraged himself, you know, this is a man that for 13 years had stood strong and he hadn't wavered and he had been faithful to what God had told him to do. A lot of people would have thought, well, what does God expect? And with our logic today, we'd say he's in denial. He is not letting out his feelings. He needs to vent. He needs to quit holding it in. He just needs to sit down and cry for a while and get it over. That's the way that a lot of people feel, that you just are supposed to indulge your emotions. David was in a situation where I guarantee you everything in the natural said be discouraged and be afraid. Just quit and give up. You've been strong long enough. Just for one time, break down and cry. But it says David encouraged himself in the Lord. And you know how he did it? He took the word and he began to encourage himself. And it was just a matter of hours until the promises that God had given him all started coming to pass. If he would have given in at that last minute, he would have lost. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, I see a lot of people today who they stand briefly for a period of time, but they only stand so long. It's like there are limits on how long they're going to believe God. You've got to just be strong and of a good courage. And somebody says, well, how long am I supposed to stand? Until it works. Amen. Until you're encouraged. You just don't ever give up. If you say, well, here's the line, I'm only going to go this far, I can guarantee you Satan is sharp enough to figure out where your breaking point is, and he will push you to that point. But when you just say, it doesn't matter, I'm not quitting ever. I'm never going to give up. I'm never going to change. And you just draw a line in the sand and say, I'll never cross it. This is it. And you know what? When you do that, it makes a huge difference in the results that you get. And this is what he was telling Joshua to do, who is to be strong and of a good courage. Look over in Matthew chapter 24. For those of you that are familiar with this passage of Scripture, this is Jesus talking about the end times. His disciple had asked when the end times would come and what it would be like. And here's Jesus teaching on the end times. And you know, I don't know for sure that we're in the end times, but I can tell you this is my end times. Amen. These are my last days. And so I'm believing God for great things. Matthew chapter 24, in verse 5, it says, Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. You know, I have read that passage of Scripture since I was a kid, and I've heard it prophesied that there would be many coming, and I've heard stories about like in the Baha'i faith. I don't know how many of you are aware of the Baha'i faith, but they believe that Jesus came back. I forget the exact year, but it was in early 1900s, and things were in such a mess, he decided he'd go back and come a third time. And that's the Baha'i faith and stuff. And I've heard stories about things like that, but honestly, I thought, this is weird. Did you know Jamie and I were driving to church back in May, I think it was, and they advertised the Jesus Christ show coming on. And I thought about, oh, this is weird. I wonder what this is about. And we listened, and it was a guy on our local radio station in Colorado Springs. It's syndicated around the nation, and he is claiming to be Jesus. And people called in, and they were saying, well, what about this? And he says, well, I remember when I was hanging on the cross, how hard it was for me. And this guy is telling people these things. This is no longer off in the future. There are people today saying that they are the Christ, and this guy has a syndicated Jesus Christ show telling people about when he was here on the earth and what he did. This is a sign of the end times. In verse 6 it says, you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famine and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. Boy, all of that is coming to pass. And these are the beginning, all of these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. You know, that is one strong statement right there. This is saying that because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will wax cold. And as a matter of fact, if you look this word up, when it talks about the love of many, it's not really talking about just many. It's talking about most, the majority. As a matter of fact, I was reading this afternoon, and I wrote down some of the translations. Here's the NIV. It says, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. The New American Standard says, because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. The Phillips translation says, because of the spread of wickedness, the love of most men will grow cold. Weymouth said, and because of the prevalent disregard of God's law, the love of the great majority will grow cold. The Amplified says, and the love of the great body of people will grow cold because of the multiplied lawlessness and iniquity. This is not talking about just a few. This is saying that when evil grows and prevails, it affects the relationship of people with God. That's a strong statement.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on how to stay positive in a negative world. This 5-part teaching series was recorded at our 2010 Phoenix Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series R1065C for CD or R3209D for DVD when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The first CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RHT23 when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111, and our web address is awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to introduce to you a brand new feature that we have, and that's our online Charis Bible College School. We have about 15 different locations around the world where we have Charis Bible College Schools. We've had correspondence where you send in and get CDs and have tests that you send in and they get graded. But now we've started an online Bible school where you can actually sign up with other people, go through the classes. It's a structured thing, and yet it's flexible enough that you can make it according to your schedule. Wherever you are, you can get on this, and you have a facilitator that comes on and interacts with you, and it's the next best thing to being in one of our Charis Bible Colleges. I think it'll be a blessing to you, so check it out. You can call 719-635-1111, or you can go to our website, awmi.net.